Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It's a super happy Wednesday around here. Hope you're having a happy Wednesday where you are. We got a great Wednesday for you. I know I usually say that because Darren does a great job scheduling Wednesdays, but today, hit it out of the park. Second hour, one of the greats, Father Tad Poholcek, will be here with us. And I am one of those people that can pronounce his last name. I don't have to just say Father Tad. I can say Father Tad Poholcek from the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He'll be here to talk about bioethics. So if you have questions in that regard about perhaps children in the womb or the care for the elderly or the disabled or any other bioethics question, maybe it has to do with DNA testing, that kind of thing, all that, he is prepared for your questions second hour. First hour, I'm very excited to welcome a guest we have not had before, but a woman who has a magnificent new book out from the Augustine Institute. It's called By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. And we welcome your calls about the new evangelization. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. The author of that book, Dr. Gwen Adams, is a writer, speaker, and visiting professor of theology at the Augustine Institute in Denver, Colorado. And she's the founder of Bard Street, offering youth theater camps, seminars, and other ventures. You can learn more about her at bardstreet.com. Gwen Adams, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Si. Thank you for having me.
So you write in here, what we find when we open the book is all these magnificent examples of Catholics living out their faith in the modern world and doing so in a way that evangelizes others. Is there a context? And like what you said, we need a book like this. What kind of gave you that idea?
Right. Well, a good friend of mine, Chris Bloom, who's the dean at the Augustine Institute, he and I were talking shortly after Benedictine College hosted a conference called or themed around Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option. And that's a book maybe some of the callers have heard of. There's just been a lot of buzz about that book and other books kind of in the same genre, like Archbishop Chaput's Strangers in a Strange Land. So Chris and I were talking about some of the themes in the book, one of which is something that we can all kind of resonate with. The culture's in a mess. The culture's been in a mess for a long time. We need to do something. And Chris and I were talking about, well, that's kind of interesting because, in some ways, people have been doing something for years, but sometimes it's obscure. What if we told stories about some of these different kinds of apostolates or missions or things like that, and it would guide people. It could be inspiring, and so that was kind of the genesis of the book.
Go ahead.
Well, so then we set out to find whose stories can we tell. So I was finished though. So
that's okay, because apparently you ran into no shortage of stories. There are actually people who, instead of despairing or maybe instead of fussing at each other online or the various other strategies, have said, I want to do the Lord's work in the modern world. And they found creative ways to do it. You didn't find any shortage of those people.
No. I mean, I would say, you know, behind the curtain, it is hard to find stories sometimes because these people are not looking to... Yeah. be known. So I had to juggle around the fact that people were working really hard to do the Lord's work and did they have time for an interview? But I did find incredible people who were willing to share their story, and it was a real privilege. So
In the middle of the book, part two, The Charity of Christ, you have an article or a chapter, I should say, on Children of the Immaculate Heart. They are dear to us. We try to be as cooperative with them as we can. They're here in San Diego where we are. We're kind of what you would think of, I suppose, as an evangelizing apostolate. We go out and share the good news. We try to talk about it. But they are different. What fault puts them into this unexpected way, this a new evangelization mode?
Right. Well, some of the stories, I think, and if you start reading it, you think, how are they evangelizing?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of a question that gets asked of the people in the book in real life, and they answer it in their own words. But I can answer it a little bit with somebody like Grace Williams and Children of the Immaculate Heart. Some people are coming from such a place of suffering or different, just terrible challenges in their background that they are not able to hear a message that God loves them. So the four chapters in the center of the book, including the one on Children of the Immaculate Heart, really kind of talk about evangelizing to people who are suffering. And yeah. before you explain anything that Jesus taught to them, you try to bring Jesus to them, maybe be Jesus to them, let them experience the love of Christ, because they don't have any kind of experience of what is love like, what is mercy like. So you have to give them something tangible before you could ever talk about anything further than that. So in a way, it's kind of like pre-evangelization, but totally necessary.
You know, I have to say too, just watching Children of the Immaculate Heart, who cares, they care for and build community with women who have been involved in sex trafficking, women who have been the victims of sex trafficking. The other side of that, though, and this is part of, I think, what, I mean, we just love Grace and what she does and what all those women over there do, but there's a way in which for those of us who are not directly doing that work, whether it's a young person who might be kind of like, I'm not sure about this Catholic thing, or an older person who's involved in, you know, I don't know, parish political struggles or whatnot, there's a way in which her and their charitable living out of the gospel without complaint, without fussing, without, that's kind of unifying for us as well. It has a re-evangelizing quality to it.
Right, that's true. I went in to tell stories about other people, but I learned so much while I was listening to them. Because when Grace talks about founding Children of the Immaculate Heart, she's also telling her own story of how she became a Catholic, her own story of her relationship with Christ. And the other people do that too. I learned so much about what is it like to talk to Christ on a daily basis and to follow him when you don't know what you're doing and you don't have the skills to do what you think he's asking of you or what's needed. It was quite an education to listen to them. And I thought I would tell stories that were replicable, that people could, you know, Grace's story, or I tell a story of a school, I tell a story of a women's care center. Those are things that people could read about and copy or imitate or start in their own areas. They're needed everywhere. But in a bigger way, the way that people come to relate to God and to follow his lead, that's the most replicable thing that you could read that. And even if you don't start anything in the book or participate in any of those apostolates, you could still follow Christ the way the people in the book do. It's very, I think there's a lot of hope in that, not to have to start something in order to be able to connect to Christ and to live with him.
Gwen Adams is our guest. By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization is the book from Augustine Institute Press. So, Gwen, did you expect to find that there would be a pattern here? I mean, that's what it sounds like. You're saying there's kind of a thing that you can imitate from these people, even if you're not imitating their particular ministry or their particular vocation. There is something that you can imitate, and this is something we can all do. Did you expect to find that?
Not exactly. I probably idealize all other people, especially people who are doing the Lord's work. And I thought they would have all this advice for me about how to be a great Catholic. And in some ways they did, but it was not what I was thinking. I wrote this book from a place of suffering, a lot of physical sickness, for people who are suffering. And when I started interviewing the people, they did not tell stories about how they had this plan and they went out to build culture and they were going to serve God. They all told stories about how sometimes problems came to them without invitation and situations erupted that they were not looking for. They didn't have the skills, they didn't have the money, they didn't know even how to start. And that was not what I thought they would say to me, because when you look at them, some of these people, Mary Pat Donahue, who is the head, executive director for the Secretariat for Catholic Education with the USCCB, or Janet Smith, who's done so much great work related to Humanae Vitae. I just think of these people as sort of the pillars of of the Catholic world. And then when they tell their stories of being tired and not knowing where to turn, I thought, well, that's so hopeful when, you know, when you're, you feel like you can't do anything, but that's how it looks. So
that's so fascinating to me. I wonder too, if actually when you're saying it, you the sense that I have, maybe the way I relate to that somewhat negatively is, how many times have I missed that call then? How many times have I, you know, like I've been worried about, what are we going to do to change the culture or this or that? And I'm all into, you know, rescuing the church from whatever the latest scandal is. And there was right in front of me, maybe there was a call of someone had a problem or in my town, there was a ministry that was needed and I didn't answer the call.
You know, actually, it's beautiful. It's great that you bring that up, because at least one person talks about this pretty explicitly, and maybe one comes to mind right away. I think in the chapter on Scythian, which is a group of which is a music group, and the founders of it are Catholic, and they were asked this at the beginning when they were starting their group. Well, how are you evangelizing? And as they tell their story, they don't have an answer for that question, and they're not sure, and they do make mistakes. They were pretty open about, we were making decisions that we don't think were good for ourselves spiritually or for the band. We're not doing the Lord's work. We're starting to do the rock star thing, getting pretty invested in fame. And then they played at a kids' concert, which was so fun. It was just a benefit that a Catholic school asked them to do. And it completely redirected what they were doing. And it was very illustrative of the fact that even if you do miss an opportunity, even if you fail to hear the call of the Lord, if you stay open and try to listen to him, he will redirect you. You might even do something pretty bad, but he can salvage it and pull you back to bring good out of that. That's kind of what the church tells us about providence. It's mystery, but hopeful.
It is indeed helpful. Gwen Adams, our guest, her new book, By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. Probably one of the most common questions we get about the new evangelization is, what is the new evangelization? So I think that your book addresses that to some degree. Gwen, we have to take a break, and then we will get to callers. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about the new evangelization, if you have questions about the various ways people have been called to be participants in the new evangelization that are outlined in the book By an Unexpected Way, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Right back with Gwen Adams right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Dr. Doctor, featuring Drs. Tom McGovern, Chris Stroud, and Andrew Mullally.
The number of people who are on government assistance expanded so much. Personally, I have patients in my office in tears saying, you know, I never thought of myself as somebody on government assistance. I just bought a new car. I can afford a brand new car, but I'm still on Medicaid.
Dr. Doctor, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
I'm going to read this copy, Nick, but I don't know if I'm supposed to, because I keep hearing that this river cruise is almost full. So there must just be a few spots left. But if you want to go on the Catholic Rhineland cruise, Charlemagne, the Magi, and Mystics, that Catholic Answers is taking June 9th through 19th of the year 2020. That's next year, next June, aboard the privately chartered ship Uniworld's River Empress, one of the finest river ships in Europe. Going to go by Basel, Switzerland, Strasbourg, France, a whole bunch of Germany, including Aachen and Cologne and Trier. And then Amsterdam. We'd love it if you came along. Father Hugh Barber, we expect him back by then. We're looking forward to that. Chris is going. And our very special guest is Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco. One of the good guys, Bishop Corleone. I don't just say that because he's a San Diegan. He also because he's just a very fine archbishop, and you'll love traveling with him. Everything's included. You just have to go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com to find out more about it. But as I said, you won't be hearing much more about it because it's almost full already. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com and get the information today, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Our guest next hour, Father Tad Poholcik. This hour, Gwen Adams, the author of By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. If you want to feel down and angry and bitter, this is not the book for you. If you want to feel like Christ is still working in his church and through beautiful people and people just like you and me, yes, even people like me who are answering the call to follow the Lord, you're going to love this book, By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. Maybe you have in mind for yourself, maybe you think, well, I've always wondered, how can I get involved in the new evangelization? You know, these popes are always badgering us. I shouldn't say badgering, but, you know, they're always hitting us over the head with, everybody is supposed to be evangelizing. And maybe you believe that, but you'd like to know how to do it yourself. Also a good book for you and also a good opportunity to call 888-318-7884. Do you have a working definition, Gwen Adams, yourself, of the new evangelization?
Yeah, sure. John Paul II is the one, I believe, who coined that term first in 1979 on a trip to Poland. And then he used it more and more in encyclicals, and it just grew through the 1980s, 90s, and today. When he used it, he meant that specifically areas and populations that had already embraced Christ were in danger or had already lost him. And so not only do we still need to evangelize places and people who have never heard of Christ, but we need to re-evangelize areas that we thought, well, those are good, because it's not so good in many areas. People think they know what the church is. They think they know what God is, but they need to be refreshed, and they need to new eyes to see who God really is. So,
again, 888-318-7884. Gwen, all right, if we go to the phone lines.
I would love to.
All right, we'll start with James in St. Louis, Missouri. James, your question for Gwen Adams.
Yeah, actually, it's Jamie, sorry.
Oh, good. At any rate, happy to have you, Jamie.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks. Hey, really quick, this is my favorite topic. I love this. Thank you for having your guest on today to talk about this. My own personal experience has been in my story for the past 20 years since I came back to my faith, but about 10 years ago, I started up a Catholic DJ ministry. And we just go around from parish to parish at carnival events and play great Christian-centered music. And it's amazing the amount of people you get to meet who aren't Catholic who come up to you, and you can strike up some interesting conversations, especially if you've had a few too many beers to drink. It makes it even more interesting. But my question is, because I've been bounced around, I feel like Paul a little bit in the letters, where the Holy Spirit just doesn't want to keep me in one place. So I'll move from doing this DJ stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I want you to teach PSR. So I get into teaching PSR like 10 years ago. And then he moves me into doing their confirmation program. And now I'm in the process of trying to write a book of dealing with youth for the past 10 years of taking, you know, heartfelt stories and placing those in a book. And you're right. I have no idea where to start with half the stuff I'm doing, but I'm just going on God's grace. And I'm curious if that's kind of the experience that a lot of other people have felt, where they just get moved and bounced around all over the place sometimes, where God wants them, the Holy Spirit leads them.
I think definitely some of the people that I interviewed and at times in my own experience or with the experience of my friends, people are involved in a particular calling or ministry for years, and that's sort of their life work. But some of the other people that I interviewed, they were not involved in the ministry that the story focuses on, not anymore. They had moved on to a new kind of work or a new way to connect with God. And it's very confusing to make those shifts. Really, you're kind of following the lead of the Lord one step at a time. Sounds kind of cliche, but it's a continual matter of discernment I really think because he gives us the opportunity to do these ministries as a gift to us, not because he wants these ministries done. And if it's really helpful for you to be engaged in it, then he makes it happen. And if it's not helpful for you, he might continue the ministry with other people, but move you on to something that is what you need right now. So I think your experience is quite common for people who are trying to connect with Christ.
It seems like what you're both saying, and Jamie, I'll let you have a last word before you have to go, is that God doesn't necessarily do it our way. Like that sometimes he just surprises us.
Right. Yes.
Does that seem fair to you, Jamie?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm experiencing too, because it almost seems like I take it to a certain point and then I feel like I'm being tugged in another different direction. And that's okay. I like that because I like to keep things fresh and new in my life. And sometimes I feel that God does this so I don't get too lax in what I'm doing. He likes to keep me on my toes. So,
well, Jamie, thank you very, very much for the call. Dr. Gwen Adams is our guest. She's from the Augustine Institute, her book is from the Augustine Institute, and where she is a visiting professor. The Augustine Institute, one of the fine Catholic institutes anywhere in the U.S. these days. The book is called By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. Any other surprises as you went through, where maybe you had a plan for the book? And you thought, this is the book I'm writing, and then you got some more surprises.
Lots of surprises along the way. I don't think I'm allowed to tell all those stories. There's something like a statute of limitations where I can tell all the behind-the-scenes stories. But I would say yes. Probably the best thing that I learned, which some of the other people have also learned in their experience and expressed really beautifully, is when you're in a place of suffering and you can't do anything. Some of the people that I interviewed, for example, Annie Powell, who runs Camp Wojtyła in Colorado, an adventure camp, a Catholic adventure camp for middle school and high school students with incredible formation and leadership opportunities for college and young adults. So she was very vocal about her conversations with God when everything was falling apart. She would say, I trust you, Lord. So why are you doing this? I do trust you. You know, exactly. And it was beautiful to me because I come from a background where the idea of expressing frustration to God or saying that you're sort of, or you feel angry sounds sinful. So to have other people who really do love God and love their faith say out loud things that I was feeling was very instructive for me, kind of on how to pray. So when you come up with something that's unexpected, I'm not expecting to have a migraine in the middle of an interview, which happened for chapter 7.
Oh, when I'm gonna reread that.
Most of the interviews were by Skype. I did have a couple migraines during those. I was taking heavy medication, but one of them was a live interview. And I went and there were five guys in the room in South Bend and we're talking. And migraines, I don't know if you know the symptoms, but they have some crazy side effects, which are pretty unpredictable. In this case, the side of my face went numb, which is supposed to be like the sign of a stroke.
Yeah.
So I had never experienced that particular symptom before. I start freaking out, which is mostly like, can we take a break? I need a snack. So I'm trying to hide it. They were great. They got me a snack and then I tried to keep going. And then I said, I can't, I got it. I need to go to the ER. And they took me to the ER and they got my car there. And I'm thinking, well, how are we going to get the rest of the interview? Also, I feel terrible. So, you know, that was, how do you predict that? And I'd driven up there and then we arranged Skype dates. We got the rest of the interview. I sent it. We got, you know, it came together, but not the way I would have planned it out. But now I think, you know, it was really good for me to receive help from them. And it's such a funny story to me now that I see a lot of providence in it when you kind of submit to the way he's going to lay it out, though you certainly can't predict it. So
again, 888-318-7884. We're talking about the new evangelization with the author of a beautiful new book about the new evangelization by an unexpected way, Dr. Gwen Adams from the Augustine Institute. This new evangelization thing, it's risky then, because I guess we kind of like to have everything planned out. And I can see avoiding getting involved in God's evangelizing of the world because it does bring up these unpredictable things.
Right. It brings you right to a place where you become very aware of your own inadequacy and limitations, which in some ways is classic, right? Moses, I'm not the right one to send. And the apostles, they did not have what it takes. But to really notice that in yourself.
There's the music. Sorry, Dr. Adams. We'll be right back. Dr. Gwen Adams is our guest. Your call's next. If you want to talk about the new evangelization, want to ask about how you can start doing your part in the new evangelization, 888-318-7884. If you just want to share your story of the new evangelization, 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries, Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of people in Nebraska on Saturday for the big Spirit Catholic Radio Catholic Answers Conference in Omaha, Nebraska. If you want to know more about it, go to spiritcatholicradio.com, spiritcatholicradio.com. I have to say, on that topic, there's all these people around the country, many of whom had I have talked to many people who say, I knew we needed a Catholic radio station in my little town or city or whatever. I don't know anything about radio. I didn't know anything about this. And yet they do it. They go – somehow the Lord gets them through it. I mean, I think of the guys that are doing the Catholic Man Show right now, Adam and David, that these guys just got a call. Hey, there's an opportunity to open a Catholic radio station. Do you want to do it? They don't know anything about it. But they say yes, and something beautiful happens. And there's hundreds of Catholic radio stations now just because of that. That's the kind of thing you're talking about.
Yep, yeah. Father Fasnacht in chapter 8 talks about you don't need to know what to do. God will send you those people. You just keep talking about it to people and saying what you need, and then suddenly those people, they just start appearing. Joe Sergio says something similar in chapter 6, when he actually told God to do this. He's like, okay, God, I will help you with this work, but you need to find me a lawyer because I don't know anything about legal. You know, so it's like, right, cut deals with God. Be firm. Talk to him like you would talk to anybody else.
I love telling God you need to find me a lawyer. That's awesome.
And God did find him a lawyer. Yeah, actually, it's wonderful to hear him tell the story. I hope someday they film all this stuff, because he called and asked for the best, the lawyer they knew with most experience in criminal litigation dealing with sexually oriented businesses, because they were hoping to close the ones that were just ruining the neighborhood. And of course, those are usually often fronts for sexual trafficking and you name it. So he's asked for name a lawyer with the most criminal litigation experience, and they gave him a name and he wrote it down. Then he asked for the contact information, and then through this phone call, they're like, yeah, he's in the Midwest. Joe Sergio's saying, well, I'm in the Midwest. Yeah, he's actually Chicago or maybe South Bend. Joe Sergio's like, that's where I live, in South Bend. Turns out Dennis Stoffelbach, the lawyer, teaches at the school where Joe is sending his kids. And it was just so bizarre when Joe Sergio is listening on the phone. It's almost like that's kind of scripted. Like, maybe we'll need to change it to make it more believable. But it's actually reality when God is involved is so bizarre that, then that's the experience of many, many people throughout history and in America right now, that you don't know how to do it, but you will get the help. So,
yeah. And ask God for a lawyer if you need a lawyer. I have to say, though, Gwen, one of the privileges of the work that we do here at Catholic Answers is we get to go places and see people and hear these stories. And it's such a gift. You get this incredible sense of peace and faith that God's got this handled, because there's a million times where it looked hopeless for various Christian ministries or apostolates, and God just takes care of it. But it's stepping out and doing, answering his call. That's the thing. But let me ask you this, if I may, Dr. Gwen Adams, author of By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization, available now from Augustine Institute Press, which is how I will address you from now on. Dr. Gwen Adams, author of the whole thing is my, from now on, that's how I'm addressing you. There's a lot of people who, they've got enough or maybe even too much on their plate. They're dealing with, a mental illness in the family. They're dealing with sick children or their own sickness or whatnot. Are you saying that they're excluded from this kind of unexpected way, this thing about following Jesus in the new evangelization?
Oh, not at all. I think it's important to, I have a short little introduction where I try to express what it's really like to do the new evangelization and to follow God's lead in this. But reading the stories also expresses it. So I would say, in a nutshell, you think reading 10 stories about apostolates that the point of the book will be like, now go do something. But actually what you learn reading about the people is that God is not interested in us doing anything. He doesn't need us to build the culture or to save the church. He's got this much power in his little finger to do whatever he wants accomplished. What he's interested in is you. He loves you like a father. And so if you can't do anything, that is perfectly fine, because that's not really why he created you. When people do things like start schools or adventure camps, it's because God wants to give them the gift, because it's going to be part of their happiness, their flourishing, their growth, not because he needs them like he needs a hammer or a tool. He's like, I need this adventure camp. All right, you need to get to it. Not at all. So if you're sick or you have problems, like you said, with there's mental illness in the family, or you're tired, or you're older, or you just have a lot of kids, or whatever, just a lot on your plate, it's like, you don't need to feel like, well, I should be doing something. The first thing is to turn to God and say, well, so is this okay? What would be okay? Or how are we doing? What do you want? And the first thing God would say is, I want you. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's the place to start. And all of the people in the book at different points are there. They're not like, now I will start an amazing apostolate. It's more, it starts so much earlier in a concern just to be who Christ meant us to be and to be with Christ. Long answer, but it's not about ticking a to-do list or getting a bunch of stuff done. That's never been God's concern. So
it's never a long answer if it talks about how God loves me or you or anybody as a loving father. We just miss that part. It's the most obvious part of what Christ taught us, and we miss it all the time. I don't know what it is about your message, too. I'm just checking social media, and man, we have an international audience today from Hong Kong, UK, Africa, a couple places in Africa, New Guinea. Where else? Lebanon. So apparently the world needs a message that God loves you as a father as well. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Dr. Gwen Adams is our guest. You can find her at bradstreet.com. Tell us about Bradstreet before I get any more questions to you.
Oh, yeah. Bard Street.
I don't know why I said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Bard as in B-A-R-D, storytelling.
Yeah.
Bard Street. So that is my business website. And if you go there, you'll see, of course, the book, By an Unexpected Way, and information about the launch. And then you'll also see some of the other things that I do. I write for the Augustine Institute for its project, for example, Why Believe, a textbook, theology textbook. I've also done projects for other dioceses like the Diocese of Metuchen. I give retreats. I do youth theater in Louisville and Lafayette areas. I'm starting. So if you want to go and check out the kind of work I'm doing for dioceses, schools, parishes, that's where you go. So
I hope you don't get a migraine while you're dealing with those kids, though. Come on. That's just...
I have a heart for middle school students. I think they are hilarious. Even when they're misbehaving, they're hilarious. So,
you know, my wife always says there's someone for everyone. It's wonderful that there is someone who loves middle schoolers. Maybe that came out wrong. Maybe that came out too negative. But that's not the easiest group to spend your days with. So God bless you.
For some.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Gwen Adams, our guest. We're talking about the new evangelization. I have to say, you're writing this book. Part of it is kind of a response to the Benedict option from Rod Dreher, who I have to admit is a friend here, but his ideas are controversial. He has a way of distilling things in a way that is very, very captivating. But also there are critiques there that some have argued that what Rod is arguing for is a withdrawal from the world and all that kind of thing. But you also mentioned the very fine book, Strangers in a Strange Land, another very fine book from Archbishop Chaput in Philadelphia, who used to be there in Denver. I think is he the founder of the Augustine Institute?
Oh, no, but he's been very supportive. Of that. Yeah.
So there's a sense of it's gloom and doom, but it's informed gloom and doom. It's like, yeah, you're not crazy. The world really is in terrible shape. But the church itself as well is in terrible shape. And as you do these interviews with people about their answering their call, do they have any trepidation, any sense of, I don't know if I want to be inviting people into this mess of the Catholic Church right now, or do they have a different attitude about it?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's interesting. Some of the people are cradle Catholics. Some of them are converts, and some of them are reverts. So it was interesting to see, especially from the converts and the reverts, their personal story of their trepidation about entering the church or returning to the church. So there's a lot of food for thought in those stories, but they certainly have been there. If you think like, I don't know, the church, what?
Yeah.
There are people who they're asking that question too. And Annie Powell, when she was returning to the church, got such good advice. I learned a lot from this, because if Annie Powell had come to me with her questions about, well, what about this church teaching and what about that? I would have done my whole theology like, oh, good, I'm ready to go. Okay, boom, 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 and give her like the long, like bullet pointed 2-page list of all the answers.
Yeah.
Like, what she got this advice to take her questions to Christ before the tabernacle.
Wow.
Which I didn't know how I felt about that, but she did. She'd go and sit in front of the tabernacle and argue with Jesus about contraception and the various church teachings. And slowly her questions got answered, which is, you know, that's a very summary way to explain it. But I just thought, if you've got problems or issues with becoming a Catholic, take those questions to Christ, who will never lead you false. And then the people over and over in the book, anything good is to be found with Christ in the church. Some days you're like really passionate about that. Other days, maybe you're like Peter in the gospel, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Kind of, I always think that line's a little bit, a tiny bit irritable, a tiny bit like jaded, but like there's nothing else out there. So
this, it definitely has the implication of if there was something else out there,
yeah, exactly,
that could, I would go that way.
I know. I find that line really encouraging. It's like, I'm not a Catholic because it's just so fun all the time to be a Catholic, and because all the Catholics I know are just perfect people.
Right.
Not at all. I'm a Catholic because Christ loves me and is helping me to love him and is the only one who's got the solution. So Newman has a beautiful line like that. He says, I love the church for the sake of Christ alone. You're like, right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And you found that as at least a common attitude that developed among the people you interviewed, even if that wasn't their original attitude, that's where they got to as their faith matured and as they served the new evangelization.
Right, right. This is where you find the love of God. Yeah.
888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Gwen Adams, our guest. We have to take another break. We'll be right back with more on the new evangelization. By the way, the book, I want to give the title as much as I can, By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. Again, the author is Dr. Gwen Adams. She's at the Augustine Institute, and Augustine Institute Press is where you can get the book. Right back after this.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Sorry, Nick. I snapped my fingers into the microphone. Nick hates that. I'm sorry, but the music is just so good, Nick. The music is just so good. Gwen Adams is our guest. She has a wonderful new book, By an Unexpected Way. And I have to say, the reason I say it's a wonderful new book is because of the people you meet in it. The people that you meet have all met Jesus. I guess that's the way to say it. The people in the book have all met Jesus, and they have somehow in their lives taken up some work to share him with others, whether it's just through alleviating the suffering of others, being kind to those to whom life and society has been unkind, even cruel, or teaching those who need teaching, or reaching out to those who are lonely. It's a magnificent kind of, I would say, as because we're coming up on Thanksgiving, a bit of a cornucopia of the beauty of the Catholic faith when someone just picks it up and lives it. Someone just does what Christ calls us to do, something that most of us, myself included, are avoiding most of a good part of the time. Dr. Adams, thank you again for being with us for this conversation.
Well, you are welcome. I was thinking that it couldn't have worked out better if I'd planned it. But when I got to the end of writing it, I thought, hey, There are lay people and priests in here and religious. There are men and women. There are people of all different ages, different backgrounds, converts, reverts, cradle Catholics. I was like, it's like I tried to do this broad study and try to hit every kind of person. But I was just looking for good stories, and it kind of played out that way to get so many different kinds of people in the book. And if I do a sequel, I'm sure that'll happen again, which would be wonderful for me, and hopefully great for other people to read more stories like that. So.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of years ago, Patrick Madrid did a beautiful book called Surprised by Truth, where people told their stories of conversion, and then it became Surprised by Truth 2 and then 3. But that's the kind of book this is, that you want to read more of these stories of how people did this. And what they did for the new evangelization. You already talked about part two, which you titled the Charity of Christ, where people are disposing themselves charitably towards others in a variety of different ways. And that's part of the new evangelization. We didn't talk about the other two sections, however. The first being called, you called it, docility to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, and why did you call it that?
Yeah, so John Paul II, in his encyclical Redemptoris Missio, I think that's the one, sorry everybody, he said if we're going to evangelize or new evangelize, we need a missionary spirituality. And I thought that was what he describes there, I thought was a beautiful way to kind of break the book into sections. So he says we need docility to the Holy Spirit, we need to love others like Christ loves them, and we need intimacy with Christ. So I thought of whether any of the chapters fit those better than others. And in some ways, I thought, oh, gosh, they all have docility to the Holy Spirit and intimacy with Christ and love of neighbor. But I broke it up. And so the first three chapters I did as docility to the Holy Spirit, where you really see people who have no idea how to do what great thing it seems is needed. And so every single step of the way, they're following God's lead to the next step. And they don't know how to do what they're doing. So Mary Pat Donahue in the first chapter on St. Jerome Academy did not have a classical background, though she was leading the school. And those who approached her about how can we turn the school around rather than let it close, can we do a classical curriculum? So that's kind of a tough decision. Let's switch our entire curriculum in a year where we are about to close because of finances to something that I'm not quite familiar with. That's a big, big decision. Stand behind it, tell all the parents why we're doing this, talk with the teachers and try to get them on board with this huge shift. So that's kind of what was presented to her. There's nothing you can do except what she did, but she had keys to the church, and she just go over and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just try to learn while she was going. So that's one example of you have to be able to just follow the Holy Spirit without having any idea of how it's going to wind up.
And then at the end, you end up with intimate communion with Christ, which is pretty much perfect. I mean, that's the more or less the definition of what the Christian life is. Mm-hmm. And so why did you pick those stories for that? And what do you mean by intimate communion with Christ?
So intimate communion with Christ is, I think, a rich relationship with Christ, with daily communication with Him about everything that's going on in our lives. The religious things and the non-religious things, the good things and the things that we are horrible and that you just want to say to God, why are you letting this happen to me? That's the hardest question to ask God. And John Paul II is so beautiful about this. He says, Christ is expecting us to ask that question. He wants us to ask that question. It's so hard to do it. So I had three stories, of people who just in their conversation, they'll be on a plane. Dan Federica is on a plane talking to God after his mother died. Father Matt Fosnot's driving and talking to God. And Father Tim Alkire in the last chapter, they have these really vivid conversations with God about things that are just really overwhelming or troubling them. And I thought, this is just what it looks like to talk to God in a very natural, daily level, on a really deep level, not holding anything back, not getting yourself all sort of like tidied up and like, oh, now I will pray. You know,
it's yes.
This is you, this is me, this is what's going on, like Jacob with the angel, you know, in the Old Testament. Like, and so so I chose those three chapters because I think the conversation is really illustrative. Also, the last chapter with Father Alkire in the parish of St. Boniface really centers around the Eucharist. And I just thought, people need the Eucharist. And that story is about a parish that was going through a sexual scandal, quite like what some parishes have gone through recently. Terrible news. The pastor was removed and Father Timothy Alkire was asked to be the new pastor. It was just, he was pretty young and it was a horrible situation. And he said, basically, we just turned to the Eucharist and then said, help us, help us, help us. And I think Christ did help them. And that's, you know, when we think about some of the horrible stories that have come out, that's what we need, to turn to Christ, especially in the Eucharist, and say, you've got to help us. So
beautiful. Nadine's next. Nadine in Perry, Georgia. Thanks for calling, Nadine. Your question for Dr. Gwen Adams.
Hi, yes. Thank you for letting me on this station. I've never actually called before. It's my first time calling. So,
well, you're
Dr.
doing great.
Gwen Adams, you really touched me. Yeah, your book really touches me because I had a chance to do a little bit of evangelizing in a group community within the Catholic Church in Florida. And they would go out on the streets and they would literally speak to people. Wow. Like after Easter, we'd go every weekend. And I moved and then I was like, I can't do this by myself. I just, you know, I'm not equipped to do this, but I really had a desire to have something for women. I'm a widow myself, and I wanted to have something for widows in the area. And I truly felt like, I cannot do this. I don't have enough experience. I don't have the program. You know, I just didn't have the resources. And this conversation today has really encouraged me. I want to definitely get the book about The Unexpected Way. Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you, Nadine.
Nadine, that is beautiful. I have a copy of the book in my hand. Can we send it to Nadine? I'll give you this copy. All right, Nadine, we'll send you a copy.
That
yeah.
would be excellent.
You are the winner.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's so inspiring, Nadine. Are you sure you wouldn't rather just spend your time, I don't know, complaining about the church on social media? Sorry. I keep coming back to that today. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm so grumpy about that today. Nadine, that's beautiful. And that's just how it works, isn't it? God gives us what we need in the moment. And maybe he said, hey, Nadine's ready to get back out there evangelizing. And there you are. It just happens to be on the radio today. Nadine, thanks for the call and God bless you. And assistant producer Marie says she'll send you this copy of the book. So just hang on and give her your information, all right?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nadine.
You know, I feel like this book could be a study book, like at a parish, you know, like you could sit down and your group that maybe reads books together, do a chapter every week for a while and just meditate on the call to evangelize. You wouldn't even have to have a program like, well, and then after that, we're going to do this. You know, I think it would really help to focus a parish on what it means to be evangelist. If you're a pastor listening, maybe contact Augustine Institute about getting those copies.
Study guide and some copies. Yeah. Actually, there's a lot. What does prayer look like?
Yeah.
What do you do when you don't know what to do? Or there's a lot of questions that you can sort of learn about by looking at those stories. Yeah.
Dr. Adams, I've just been so happy to get to speak with you. You have lifted me up. I've been, as I told you, a little down, and you just made me so happy to talk to you about Jesus today.
Good.
So I hope you'll come back a million more times.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Okay, 1 million. You are now scheduled for 1 million
followers. Marie, we'll get on it.
All right, once again, the book is By an Unexpected Way, Stories of the New Evangelization. Dr. Gwen Adams has been our guest. She is the author of the book. You can find her at bardstreet.com, and you can find the book at the Augustine Institute website, augustineinstitute.org. Coming up next, Father Tad Poholchik, and we're going to talk about bioethics. The man knows. He's one of the world's experts in bioethics. So if you've got a question, give a call, 888-31-TRUTH. Right back after this.